Vet Voice. Why Memorial Day? I thoroughly enjoyed this article, May. As an Army veteran and American Legion member, I am always amazed by the interesting articles every month. Growing up, I knew that Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. was one of our country's great Supreme Court justices, but did not know the real man. This speech gave me insight into his thinking process, as well as the integrity of the man and of his comrades in arms who fought the Civil War. By all accounts, the people of the South and the North should by this time respect each other's views of the past and move on. But that is not the case, as the history of the war is written differently by each side and is still contested in the minds of the people today. Lincoln's "with malice toward none" was not to be due to his assassination. I wish every living American was able to read Holmes' speech to understand the meaning of honor, integrity, and country. John Reichert, LaGrange Park, Illinois. The soldier who fell in the wilderness was Holmes' best friend, Henry Livermore Abbott. The later reference to the solitary horseman was William F. Bartlett, another friend and Harvard classmate. By reading more about Abbott and Bartlett, one can gain more valuable insights about these remarkable Civil War heroes. Peter Murray, Brookfield, Wisconsin. America at War. Thank you for listing the battles the United States has been in, and in chronological order, May. I took these pages and put them with my history books of the city, county, state, and World War II, which includes letters written by family who fought in that war. Gerald Williams, Logansport, Indiana. Alan W. Dowd fails to mention Cold War U.S. military deaths in his article, as he does for America's other wars and conflicts. As a Cold War warrior, I feel that many are perhaps ignorant of casualties during the longest conflict in U.S. history. Serving in Europe during this protracted fight was far from a Cold War for me. It was a daily test of resolve and stress to face the possibility of a war with the Soviet Union along the border of Eastern Europe. I find it a slap in the face to see no mention of the sacrifice of those who died to keep the peace in a time of constant threats and saber-rattling on both sides. I could have been among those deaths. Edward B. Lepatsky, Spangdahlem Air Base, Germany. More than names. Thanks to the article by Ken Olson, May, I just renewed an acquaintance with Lieutenant Janie Dresser, Shout, of the 93rd Evacuation Hospital Operating Room. She was among the best of the OR nurses. Please give my best regards to Mrs. Shout. Howard E. Kennetz, Waterloo, Iowa. Leadership, America's missing ingredient. After reading the commentary by 2nd Lieutenant Thomas N. Wheatley and retired General Tommy Franks, May, I felt a need to post my reflection. Both Franks and Wheatley are leaders. I say this without any equivocation. They have been trained to protect and defend our Union in times of war, and as directed by our Congress and instructed through the office of the President, who functions in the position of Commander-in-Chief. Should they violate their oath, they would be subjecting themselves to the harsh consequences of courts-martial in accordance with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, UCMJ. There is no comparison, nor should there be any, of political leadership in a representative form of government to military leadership. Those elected to office are obligated under oath to also protect and defend the Constitution. No more and no less. We have not sent them to the District of Columbia to do what they think is best for us, but rather to execute and uphold what we the people determine is best for us in compliance with the rule of law as enumerated in the Constitution. By electing the so-called leaders to determine what is good for we the people, we abdicate our responsibility and establish the pathway for the oligarchy we see today in lieu of the representative form of government established by the Founding Fathers. Those elected are shielded and are not subjected to the pains and penalties to be suffered by the military under the UCMJ. If they fail to abide by their oath, the unintended consequence could possibly be censure, impeachment, and loss of seat by not being reelected. Regardless, they are still assured a pension and health care for life. In my humble opinion, I suggest we cease and desist from referring to those we elect to office as leaders, as they are our chosen representatives. To do otherwise only contributes to the continuing demise of that union established by the Founding Fathers. Stuart's Grill, Ruskin, Florida. USPS and Veteran Jobs. Andrea Dickerson's excellent article on the U.S. Postal Service's job cuts, Rapid Fire, May, reminds us how fragile our economy really is. It would be a tragic loss if the Postal Service, as we know it, had to make major changes. However, what we don't see, and I've gotten this from a former USPS employee, is the incredibly generous retirement system, and I use that term conservatively. Unfortunately, those kinds of things are already written in stone, as it were, and can't be easily changed. But the USPS has long needed to get itself in order. The fat cats refusing to see the handwriting on the wall. Our service personnel take yet another hit. John Joyce, Santa Maria, California. The article correctly points out the negative impact on veterans' jobs and mail delivery that the USPS cuts have had and will have. I wish, however, that the 2006 Act passed by Congress, mandating that the USPS pre-fund future pension benefits to the tune of 75 years' worth within a five-year period, had been mentioned. The USPS is thus required by law to put billions of dollars aside for benefits to be paid as far out as 2090. This legislation, in my opinion, was passed as an attempt to put USPS out of business and let the private sector take over. How much do you think a first-class postage stamp would cost then? What cronies would reap the benefits of a private postal service? Which members of Congress would benefit? Bob Molesa, Tucson, Arizona. Sacred Duty of Honor Guard. The article on Betty Gonzalez of St. Louis Service Women's Post 404, I Am the American Legion, May, was truly heartwarming to me. I am a 94-year-old World War II Army veteran, and up until several years ago, I did volunteer work at the local library and then a hospice program. God bless Betty, and I wish her many more years to help veterans. Lillian Sprague, Lincoln, California. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subjected to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206, magazine@legion.org.